Jesus, you are worthy of it all. Here we are, Lord. Take our lives. We offer ourselves to you tonight. Lord, we just celebrate your goodness. We celebrate your heart. We celebrate your majesty. We're so in awe of you, great one. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so, so much. Our hearts are soft and tender tonight for you and your ways. Lord, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege, Father, just being able to stand in your presence and to be here. We're overwhelmed with how amazing your love is, completely captured by your heart. And we're grateful, God. So grateful. So grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just love you. Just praise you, God. Thank you, Father. You know, the divine orchestrator has been at work again. And we're so, so blessed to be able to have Ben with us tonight and tomorrow night. So blessed. And God just put all this together. So thanks, guys, for coming out tonight. I know that the Lord has a very specific plan. I don't know what that is. Ben's been seeking him. I have some thoughts and ideas, but I know that whatever comes from this great friend of the family, a wonderful man of God who loves you so much, we're just going to be tracking with you, Lord. We just want to hear what you're saying, what you're doing. Just can't take our eyes off you. Thank you for overwhelming us, Lord, and putting this together for us to be able to cooperate with and participate with. You know, I was talking to Ben a little bit today, and we're both excited about what the Lord wants to do tonight. Do you ever feel like that? Just God's gonna, he's gonna just blow up this place again, whatever that looks like. And it's just so exciting. And I know that Ben and his family, Ben and Nadia and the kids, as you folks know, have moved down to Raleigh, so they're not with us in the Buckeye State that way any longer. But praise the Lord. When we when we heard he was going to be up in this area, we said, hey, make sure you let us know. And so God worked this all out. It's so cool. And in the midst of that, all kinds of crazy chaos has gone on. But it's such a personal joy for me to talk to someone who's walking it out, okay, walking out stuff, just saying, but God is good. God is good. He's faithful. He's good. And Jesus is on the throne. Isn't it great to have, to be able to say that even in the midst of heartache and trials and things that are tough? And I'm going to let him share whatever he wants to about that. But I know that he's here with us this weekend, and I know he's going to a couple other, at least one other place, if not two. So that's really cool. And Nadia's got the kids in the, holding the fort down. And I will tell you that his daughter, Tetra, I have not met her yet, has a broken shoulder. And that happened, I'm not sure, a day or so ago, and thought it wasn't broken. Then we found out it was. But we found out also that she doesn't have to have surgery. So that's really cool. We just give God praise and glory for that. And I just love the testimony of things that when they break down, Ben doesn't freak out. He just says, okay, Lord, what's the next step? What's the plan, whether it's a car or whatever it is? And I just love that. I'm so encouraged whenever I get a chance to talk to him and hear about his life with all kinds of crazy things happening. And so in this season right now, Ben's been taken by the Lord, because he listens to the Lord, to move down to Raleigh. And I know that's going to be just amazing what God's going to do through him in holy clubs that are now established in many different states, not just Ohio, not just what's going to happen in North Carolina, but other states as well. And he's going to share about that today and has materials for us, which I'm very excited about. And he's going to share whatever the Lord puts on his heart. But I know that there's been a shift in the Spirit, which is always the Lord's design because he takes us from glory to glory. So I know in this season, we've got so many things happening in our country, around the world, in our own lives, and life of this ministry, that we just want to say, well, so what are you saying? What's the Spirit saying to the churches? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's where I want to camp, right? I know you guys do too. So we want to hear that. And our brother is speaking the words that he's hearing from the Lord out. And I know they're going to be echoing things that God's already got in motion and then continuing to jumpstart us. And that's what's so fun, that the Lord has more for us. And as we lay ourselves down and surrender ourselves to say, Lord, your holiness, your purity above all else, that's it. I surrender to you. I don't know what it's going to look like, but come on, you've got me. I mean, that's the best place to be, and that's where peace and rest reign. And that's where I know that Ben camps and Nadia as well. So I also want to introduce Tim. Just met Tim, who's traveling right now. Welcome to our family. Welcome to our house here, Tim. It's nice to have you here. So these guys will be sleeping at our house tonight, so I'm excited about that. Get to know you a little bit better, so it's really nice to have you here with us. And we want Ben to know that we love you, and we really care about you, care about your family, care about your life, care about God's plan for your life, care about the destiny that's already in the middle of being created for the Atkinson clan and everything that goes along with that. And we want you to continue to know, I just want to say it verbally to you, that we back you, we support you, we want to run with you, we have been, and we know that God's got great plans with that in store, way beyond what we can see. Isn't that true? So we're very excited to have Ben, and Tim's here to support that, I'm sure, and we just want to welcome you up here. He is not late. He's perfectly on time. We're on God's time. And we want you to know, for real. I know you know we just kind of flow here, but it's for real. So please, if the Lord's leading, do not stop. Just go. So the green light is on, and we always say that to Ben because he's kind of like us. But it's always good to hear that. Well, we want him to know that that's true. We all in one accord and agreement with that. Amen. So we're welcoming you to the front, Ben. Just go wherever the Holy Spirit takes you. Let's give him a big thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is good.
Oh, yeah. Love you so much. Oh, wow. This is so much fun. I feel like I can breathe a sigh of relief because I have been working so hard for the last 3 months, literally. And this time here tonight was supposed to be that I'm done with my work in Cincinnati. And I was coming up to be with you all tonight. And then I was going to be done. You know, like, and I think Andy would comment sometimes when I was painting. I had my kids painting at one time. My 5-year-old was painting the ceilings, you know, and she fell over and got paint on the couch. But anyway, I'll share a little bit about this. I just want to take 5 minutes to unpack. Don't worry about last night. We went to almost 11 o'clock. So don't worry, I'll let you out for the Golden State game. Nobody laughed. they got their stuff on over there. Okay. But just, I'm so thankful to be here. And as Mary Pat said, and I called her earlier this year and just told her what the Lord was doing. And I'll briefly share because I really feel we've got two nights to plow. The first time I came with y'all, we talked about some amazing things, salvation in particular, walking out the Great Commission, went to the gay games together. And I was telling someone, they're like, well, Because some of our friends in Carrollton haven't been here, and they said, well, what was it like at Frontline? What? They never heard of Frontline. I said, these people. I go, they have no, there's no control. There's just whatever the Lord wants. There's pictures of, like, the nations all everywhere every other week. Mary Pat texts me, we've got to pray for some dire, extreme situation. And it's always true. And I'm just like, oh my God, how do these people keep doing it? And you're just good, beautiful people. So bless you. And people get married here and enjoy life and have babies. And so it's so much fun. And hi, bless you. And I think about you and pray for you. So this is, I like being here. I think it was Cynthia said she was going to get the table. I'm like, I'll get the table. And Lawrence is like, you're a guest here. I'm like, no, I'm family here. So I'll go get the table. And so anyway, there you go. And so just briefly, what has happened to our family. We knew we'd only be here for 3 years. We always are in some place just for 3 years. However, the last season, we felt the Lord. We asked the Lord. We liked it here so much. And we were in such a fruitful season. We went to buy a house. We're like, forget this. We're buying a house. We're settling down. We're done with the road. Oh, thank you, bro. And did you get this on the golf course today? I texted him earlier, where are you, bro? He's like, I got some work to do. No. And so so about a year ago, thank you. I didn't realize how thirsty I was. So about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, the Lord began to stir in us. Don't buy a house. I'm going to have you move on again. And so we began to pray about what does that look like? Where? What do you want us to do? And we still went and looked at a house anyway. And just kind of hoping maybe we weren't hearing from the Lord. And then we said, Lord, if you... I know, doesn't that sound strange? Lord, forgive me. And so he began to say, I want you to move to North Carolina. And we fasted and prayed for a week. And during that week, three people called with dreams saying God told them that we were moving to North Carolina and they're supposed to move with us. So we thought that was confirmation when good families have to get up and move. And so we knew the Lord was doing something. And so make a long story short, we go to visit the land. And the Lord, in essence, says about it's the Prince of Greece, Prince of Persia, which I'm going to unpack a little bit in the beginning and then more so through tomorrow. And he began to say this end of the age combination of the Prince of Greece, Prince of Persia, coming against the church in America and the nations of the earth. And then from there, against Israel at the end. And he said, he just began to say, I want you to go to North Carolina and I want you and your family to take a stand. We drove there and I pointed to the ground near UNC Chapel Hill as we drove by. And I said, honey, I think right here, this place and these parts, but right here is going to be a litmus test for how America handles what's coming. 3 days later, 2 or 3 days later, a man shot three Muslims dead. There, right there. And my wife was like, honey, this is serious. And I said, yeah, because America can't kill Muslims. That's not the answer, blowing people up right now. Yes, there is a moment when God comes with his divine justice. And if you don't choose to cross, you die. If you choose to cross, you die in a good way. And you get to live with him forever. But we don't want to go and kill people. We want to draw them to the cross and lay down our lives till they see salvation. Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir here. And then the Lord began to say, when we knew we were supposed to move, that's when the bathroom bill came out. I don't know if you know, understand about that. In essence, what they're saying is North Carolina took a stand and said, we want people to only go to the bathrooms that their gender is for, is their predisposed gender given to them by God, not the gender that they feel. And some people took issue with that. And so, but what in essence is, it was a state taking a stand for righteousness. And I'm not saying all the people are righteous that are taking a stand. Please hear me in that. So we knew that the Lord was doing something, and it helped us because we were in such a fruitful season. We loved being here, we were just good, just enjoying it. And especially with what was happening at Miami, it was just so much fun to be part of the Lord doing things. And we're going to have bring Tim up for a minute and have him share a little bit about what happened and what was going on. And so Tim, come on up. And as he's coming up, so I'm like, I moved to the, I promise I won't go long. That's why you're here. But I moved to North Carolina. But all of a sudden we get there and the neighbors come over. Hey, just so you know, there's a lot of copperheads. And we're like, what? Okay. You know, like copperheads, that didn't register, your kid could die. And so, and she's like, I killed one this morning. And we're like, okay, you know, and then the other neighbors come over. Hey, just so you know, there's lots of copperheads. And we saw two rattlesnakes in the backyard and our dogs almost died, but we got it to the hospital. And I'm like, what? And then they're like, you might want to clear the land. So we start raking. I kill five copperheads in essence within 3 days. And so I'm like, is it anyone kind of, so we look online and it says, North Carolina is the number one copperhead bite place in America, but our county is the number one within North Carolina, and our area was like the prime area where you could get eaten by copperheads. And so it's just so weird. So my dad is actually coming from Buffalo, New York. I think I've located a couple of nests, and so we're going to go after those Monday and Tuesday. But more so than that, that's just a fun part. I was with Lou somewhere the other day. You all know Lou Engel. And we were sitting in some meeting, and I was almost tired. And so he and I are kind of like Energizer Bunnies. And I was just going and going and going, I come in and I sit there and I stare at him. He's like, why are you moving to North Carolina? I go, it's a long story. You really want to hear it? You know, there's this room full of leaders. We're all getting ready. Come on. I'm like, do you really want to know? He's like, come on, tell us. He goes, we had dreams. We're moving there also. I go, what? He's like, no, God told us move there and take a stand. We're coming. Tell us, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh my God. Are you serious? I look at his wife and she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, there we go. And so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But, so we're all going to hit the ground running in September. We're going to do a 40-day fast if you want to join us. It'll be fun. Fasts are always fun. Everyone say fasting is fun. But please welcome Tim, and this is Tim. Everyone give in front line. Welcome to Tim. Tim is from near here, and so I told him, I said, you got to go to this place. They actually worship. Not that the other church doesn't worship, but like they keep worshiping and worshiping. So, Tim, share a little bit about who you are and what you're doing, and then I'll come back. I have to go to the bathroom, though.
Thanks, Ben. Thank you guys for letting me be here. It's an honor. Thank you. So I got the privilege to meet Ben at Miami. I was a senior last year, so I just graduated. just a quick plug for Ben and Holy Clubs. That stuff is awesome. He took us through it, and it really changed my life. So when you get an opportunity afterward to get a hold of material, seriously go for it. It's really awesome. So I was a senior, double major, chemistry and strategic communications, minor in chemical engineering. And so I got to come up under Ben, and throughout college, God had been touching me in terms of what I actually want to do is work with people. And I really realized that it was to tell people about Jesus. And so I got to learn a little bit more about how to do that with Ben. So we prayed Friday nights, and we went on the street corner and shared waters and prayed for people, and it was awesome. And got to see some really cool things. And out of that, God has called me into full-time ministry here in Akron and in L.A. So I just feel called to preach righteousness to high school students and raise up righteous students who know who they are and know who God is. And so I'll be coming on staff with Generation Akron and One Voice Student Missions, and that's the part that's in L.A. And so we do four things. And so the first one is with Generation Akron, we do assemblies in schools. And so what we do is we go into a school, and it's a school-wide assembly. And so what we do is we are teaching kids that they have dreams and that they matter and they can achieve them. And then also we're getting them to open up about what's going on the inside so that they can get help and achieve those dreams. And so how we do that is we share our own stories of what it was like for us in high school. Like, this is what you saw of us. This is what people thought. But really, this is what was going on, and it was really hard. And this is what it felt like to not tell anybody. And then we also do Bible clubs in schools. And so that is during lunch, and it's a student organization. So we get to preach the gospel to students during lunch. And then outside of school, we have discipleship culture, and so we meet once or twice a week and train students in what it's like to live a kingdom lifestyle, teach them how to interact with the homeless person, hand out water like we did, and, you know, love people for a living. And then the last thing, the third thing we do is we're trying to do a culture thing, and so teaching, giving students an opportunity to see culture creators, like think like Justin Bieber, an opportunity, giving them a space to share what's on their heart and what the Lord's putting on their heart. So there's a lot of Christian artists out there that want to produce Christian media, but their record label won't let them. And so we'll provide them a space to say, hey, you wrote this song, God gave you this song, throw it up on our website. And there's already people who are doing that, but they're not really getting seen, so we're going to give them an opportunity to be seen. And then the last thing we're doing is connecting with the local church. And so I think it's within a 10-mile radius of Akron. There's 64 local high schools. And so it's really impractical for us with a staff of like 10 people to reach the whole area. And so we will be connecting with the church, training them on how to reach the high school, doing it with them, and then passing it off so that they can come to the youth groups, come to them on Sundays. And so I'm coming on as Brandon Keitlinger's assistant. He's the president of Generation Akron. So I will be doing all those things I just told you. Big thing for me is connecting with the church. And I'll also be doing some administrative stuff for Brandon. And so some testimonies out of this, what God is doing. So we're really plugged into one high school a lot. And it's Lake High School over in Uniontown. And so, yeah. And so we have a Bible club there. And so I think the first week we're in the gym, over 100 students come, and 40 give their life to Christ. Amen, right? And I think in the first month, over 100 students gave their life to Christ. And then during one of them, we're teaching students that, like, God talks to you and the Spirit moves. And so we had them pray for students. We're praying for other students to get healed, and three students got healed in the gym during lunch in their high school. So they're like, how was your day? I'm not on crutches anymore because Jesus healed me. So God's really moving and sweeping through the high schools. And so that's what we're doing. If you want to hear more or doing stuff in high schools, I'd love to hear more about that too. So come connect with me afterward.
Amen. And if you all get the chance, just pray for him at the end, because this is someone who, not I love, but he's someone that we've been able to sow into a little bit, and see what the Lord bring him back. I mean, how many, everybody, you all are the exception because you go do mission trips all the time and then come back. But most people, they get called away or they just leave their hometown. But the Lord called him back to sow back into the high schools in this area. I think that's cool. And so, I don't know. That's awesome. So I'm so glad you're doing this. And if the Lord releases you, come and do it in North Carolina. But just after y'all get a bunch of people revived up here in the high school. So good. I'm going to be referencing this. Could you just get this to a couple people and just grab like 20 of them and pass them out? And I'm going to be referencing this. I want to go through some stuff. This for you is free. If you can give a $10 donation, please, since I got in a fight with at a print shop today. The printer, I think, literally stopped over 300 times. No lie. And the guy was like, you must be jinxed, man. I mean, he was like, I go, no, maybe this is good stuff. I mean, it was just funny. And he kept blaming me and the stuff. But anyway, if you can give a $10 donation, please, if you don't want it, just put it back when you're done on the table out there. If you want it, it's for free for you. If you can give a donation, great. Just get it to Tim. If you can give to others, that way we can give more. That's great. If not, don't worry about it. Take it for free. Go for it. But I'm going to be referencing some stuff in here. So turn with me first to 7 or 10 lies of holiness that it should be in your front cover if you don't have one. The reason I want to talk about this real quick is because I'm sitting on college campuses. I need one that has the 10 lies. That was the 7 lies. That's not accurate. So, I've been leading on campus ministry for, does everyone have someone? If you don't have one, just raise your hand. Couples share. If you want to keep it, keep it. There you go. But what happens is I've been in ministry for, as many of you, for so many years. And what happens is I find this. Someone runs hard for a year and then they stop. Or they really zealous ones can run hard for 3 years and then stop. Or you stay in ministry for a super long time because you just are gripped by Jesus. Or you're faithful and you can stay in the church for a while. But you kind of lose your fervor. And what I was tired was, what I was hurt by the most was the folks that wanted to be in church, wanted to go after the things of the Lord, wanted to be faithful, but just couldn't. There was that block. There was that, I just can't get past this point. And I began to ask the Lord, like, Lord, why? This young person's been coming to me for a year saying the same thing. Ah! And this poor person, I've been praying for the same thing for this. I love them. I'll keep praying. Let's go for it. And it really, when we began to go after working with the LGBTQ, and I began to say, how can we practically sow into a person to take them from here to here and get them into the place where God called them to walk fully? And I know it's God's job, but how can I do that? I don't know. I think very strategically, like let's just get it all done. Someone asked me the other day what I was doing. Do you have any thoughts or plans? And I was like, oh, you know, I'm just going to be here and see what. I go, actually, I do have a 10-year plan if you'd like to sit down and go over it. But he just kind of looked at me. I'm like, no, seriously, I do. Would you like to go over it? and so my thoughts and plans within all that, the Lord has Bible plans and foundational truths to walk people into freedom and wholeness. And the Holy Spirit is really good at getting people there. And we began to work with the LGBTQ. I sat with one of the leaders in working in freedom within the evangelical areas. And I asked the man, I said, tell me about your success rate. How does it work? What's happening? And he talked with me and talked with me, and it was so much fun. I said, what do you think about the sort of charismatic side of things and how they deal with the issue? And he said, And he just said, I like you people. You're full of zeal. You sing a lot. He goes, but you just, this is his opinion. He goes, you just pray and hope it happens. And you just tell the person to keep going harder and read the Bible more. And you just do stuff. And then you shout, a couple of you shout at them, you know, to get stuff out. Now, I'm like, yeah, I mean, demons need to come out of people, you know, and prayer does work. And you do need to read your Bible more. And I was like, wait, some of those are all good things. He goes, yeah, but to the person who doesn't know anything about God and are struggling in their identity of who you are, they are, you're not giving them any foundational truth to get free. And then it just dawned on me like, duh, we need to take the Word and the Spirit and put them together. Now, we all know that. However, what are we doing about that? Do we have a plan to disciple the people around us? Now, a lot of times we're like, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Thank God the Father was led by the Spirit. I mean, he is the Spirit, but creation was done in order. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can't have the fish before you got the water. Did that make sense? Amen. Or you got a bunch of fish flopping around in nowhere. And so there's an order to things. And so I found as I began to walk people through biblical discipleship, foundational truths of the Bible, they got freedom. And I was like, well, this is good. And then I was like, well, I got this extra thing I can also add to this called the Holy Spirit. Now, all my evangelical friends have the Holy Spirit too. It's not like they don't have the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved except for by the Holy Spirit. And so I began to say, wait, I need to take the biblical foundational truths and then add the power of the Holy Spirit breaking in as I'm praying more, as I'm reading my Bible more, as I'm worshiping for long hours and saying, and then seeing that breakthrough in the natural. I want to encourage you as we look at these real quickly. I want to give you a thought and a desire. How are you going to disciple the people in your workplace? How are you going to disciple your children? What is your plan for discipling your neighbors? What is your, how are you going to take your own heart through issues in a biblical and a foundational way so that you can walk in the fullness of the power that God has available for you? Imagine that you're going out to war, and I'm going to go to a war to fight the bad guys. And I stand up. Let's make it a different analogy. Imagine that I am a star basketball player that grew up in Akron, didn't necessarily go to college. And imagine I'm going to the NBA Finals, Game 4. And so, and I knew it was, you know, in Cleveland, so we're going to win anyway. So, but, amen. And so, and as I'm going in, I say, I'm about to go play a basketball game. However, I'm not going to wear my shoes, nor am I going to bring my socks, nor am I going to have a basketball. No, I'm just going to show up kind of in shorts and a t-shirt and hope it works out. No, LeBron would lose. The point is you have to come in with all that you have. When he puts on his shoes, it really helps. When he ties his shoes, it actually helps a lot more. When he has socks on, that really helps. When he's got shorts on, it really helps also. excuse me, I haven't got the excitement of my father, Lou, yet. So when I do, I'll just keep talking and no one will understand me. And I'll just shout louder. But until that point, I'll drink water and keep my voice from being raspy. But what we need to do is we're in a war, and we need to take everything into that war as possible, including our zeal. Because a lot of people go on our zeal. And a lot of people, well, then we'll go to the internet to kind of get our theology. And that can be very scary. I mean, I've listened to some teachings on there, and it's like a million hits. And I'm looking, oh, my God, this is theologically a nightmare. And because he's dressed in some cool clothing and says some key phrases and tells some stories that may or may not be true, this theology is insanely off. And not that I'm going to nitpick and be the internet police. Forget that. I don't have time for that, nor do I care. However, it's when a young person comes to me and saying they have permission to live in compromise because of this teacher that they saw. That's when I'm like, no. Because the Bible specifically says, as things get nearer, there will give you teachers that will tickle your ears. The devil will give you whatever you want to hear. And if you, I'm serious about this. You can get whatever sin you want to do. You can get three friends that agree with you and someone on the internet that's got a million hits preaching it to you. Okay? And then you can get a church down the street that agrees with that. I guarantee you. It's just the devil 101. And so I'm not saying the church is the devil. I'm saying there's tickling ears. The enemy, that's what the enemy's part of his plan. The Lord began to come into me and say, and to begin to say, son, I've made you for holiness. And I remember when he called me to this and I was like, holy. I don't even like that word. I mean, you're holy. I'm not. Let's just leave it at that. That's what I said. I mean, you're holy. Holy. Ugh. I mean, maybe you all love that word, but I was just like, and there are several reasons why I couldn't get past it, because I knew my own depravity and I tried to be holy and it didn't work. And then I didn't want to be like the people who thought they were holy. They looked boring. And so I remember saying, holy, I don't want to be part of holy. I want to look at the 10 lies. The first is the word holy doesn't make me feel good. Every time I go and I say, hey, they're like, what are you doing now? Holy clubs. Even Lou was like, where? I mean, he just like looked at me like, okay. And I'm like, yes, we're building a prayer discipleship structure so young people can encounter the Lord and grow in holiness. Like holy clubs, like what are they doing them? You know, and I'm like, well, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, people just kind of walk away and it's all right. One of the kids, I don't want to say it if y'all are recording it, but this poor guy, like they go on this like water fast for 40 days. The kid like is riding his bike back and forth to school, all right, and almost ends up the doctor's office and intervention. And anyway, they don't make him stop fasting. Thank God. Well, it was after the fast. It was right after the fast when he couldn't hold food down. but he made it and there was breakthrough. But here, the reason I'm trying to say this, when he first heard about someone invited him to Holy Clubs and he's like, Holy Clubs, that's the stupidest name I've ever heard. That's what he said. And so you think about it. You're like, you're going to invite your friends to holy clubs, you know. John Wesley, when they were first starting the holy clubs in Oxford, they called them Methodist. Everybody made fun of them at the Oxford campus. Methodist, because they just did everything methodically. Wesley says at that point he wasn't even saved. He was a teacher and gone through the Oxford, got his theological degree. But it wasn't until he went to America. And on the way to America to do a missions trip to save the Indians and save everyone and pastor a church. The ship was in a violent storm. It's going back and forth. It looks like it could get really bad. And he meets this group of people that are praying around the mast of the ship and singing and praying, and they wouldn't stop. And he goes, I looked at those people and saw that they had something. It was the Moravians out of the day and night prayer. And they're all excited and happy. And so he gets to America, actually gets in a little compromise, gets a little girlfriend on the side, and has a failed experience, comes back and gets kicked out of every church he preaches in England. And no one wants him. And then the Moravians are trying to explain to him that you got to, by faith, believe God. And then from that, he gets saved. He has what's called his Aldergate experience, where he believed that God was the one who saved him, not the method that he was doing things. So a lot of times people in holiness, it gets that bad word because it connotates people that are working towards their salvation. Well, it's not true. That's just a religious spirit. Thinking that you are a humanistic spirit, thinking that you can save yourself, or your works or your actions save yourself, when it's God who saves you. You just come into agreement with that. All right. God in heaven is holy. Heaven sings about his holiness. If you get to heaven, did you know? That's what they sing about, the holiness of God. Have you ever thought about that for a second? If one of the four living creatures was in this room right now, they wouldn't be talking about how to grow anything bigger. They would be talking about the holiness of God. And so I began to say, wait a second. God's holy. Did you know that you will be fascinated by God forever? The holy God, the holiness of God will fascinate you forever. You're not going to get bored. Like, 2 million years from now, you won't get bored. I want to push pause and share an experience that I had. This is a subjective experience because I'm the only one that was there. Okay. But I think I've shared this before. I shared about the end of the age and the Antichrist with you all. I think I did. I hope I did. If not, I'll come back. But, and so I'm sitting in this chair. This is after 9/11. Remember, my knee had been blown out. I told you that, right? My knee went to the side and I snapped it back in place. That's just gross. So obviously, I hopefully shared that. And so I'm sitting in the chair for days. I can't move in the natural. This is real. My foot really did go out and get snapped back in. The Lord was trying to say, Hebrews 12, strengthen the hands which hang down, or the hands which hang down, the knees which are dislocated. Raise up the highway of holiness, Isaiah 35. I hope you've all read that. Good. Yes, Peter. Yes. Okay. I love you people. And so here we are. I'm in this, I'm sitting in a chair. I can't work for about 3 months after 9/11. I couldn't move. And I'm in the chair. And all of a sudden, I start, the Lord takes me to this place. And this is for real. It's not fake. I'm taken through this tunnel of light and sound, one cell at a time. And I don't watch fantasy or TV or anything like that. So it wasn't like I was thinking this thing up. Maybe there was a movie about that. I don't know. The way you're looking at me, I guess there is no movie about that. But so sorry, I don't know. And so I went through this tunnel, one cell of my body at a time. Here's the thing. Each of my cells could see eternally an aspect of who God was. So imagine this part of me is going through and it's meditating on the eternal nature of the Trinity. And I'm like, oh, and then I could just hear songs from that forever. Like, you know how you get the cool hip Bethel song and you're like, wow. And after a year, you're still got zip to it. And then 2 years later, you're like, I hope they do another one. You know, not that you don't stop liking it, but you're like, I mean, I've heard the Bethel kids songs. We listen to them like a million times a day. I mean, it's just like, okay, ready? Let's go, kids. And so I love them. I still weep almost every time I hear them. But in this encounter, I'm looking at, oh my God, the triune God. That is so perfect. Oh, and then I hear in song after song after song. And I'm like, because this is just one of my little parts of my cell. And then over here is another part of my cell that's looking at the fear of the Lord. And I'm hearing song after song after song. And I'm going, I remember going, you're so, and then I'm the mercy of the Lord. I'm like, you wash our, and then there were songs about the God who washes your conscience clear and how he washed your conscience clear. And I'm like, oh, you wash consciences clear. No one can do that. Ah. And, but then there's the next song and the next song. And I'm like, I'm like, God, this is so, you're so holy. That's all I could get out. And then I'm like, wait. This is so cool. No wonder why those creatures just zip around. They're like looking with eyes everywhere in every direction, staring off at him everywhere, going, holy, holy, holy. And I can get it with my cells in every direction. And I'm going, Abba, which they can't. And I was like, I remember just looking at the Father and it went off in like light and tunnels in every direction. And I was like, that will never end. That's awesome. And it was just like, I remember looking down this hallway of light and tunnels that just went everywhere. And my cells were drifting down while I'm still going somewhere. Anyway, the reason I'm saying that, does that make God a little bit bigger than your, you know, he's just got fluffy hair and gives you hugs and plays with sheep. And so it's like, and he came so you could have the American dream. And so, don't get... No, I just please hear me. I'm not trying to make fun of stuff, but it's just like I was all of a sudden going, wow, I am going to be a worship leader 2 million years from now. This is awesome. I finally will get to play an instrument, and that instrument will be me because I'm going to look like him. And then I realized the more and more I heard the songs, I became like him. And I'm like, this is amazing. Why would I ever settle for anything less? And the holiness of God began to be a reward to look forward to and pursue, not something to dread. Does that make sense? And I was like, when he said, be holy for I am holy, he was inviting me into something. And I was like, this is so much fun. This is amazing. And what the Lord is, holiness is a really good word. Because it's all that they could come up with to describe all the character, nature, and knowledge of God all at once. That's there for you. Holiness is, one next lie is holiness is just for angry religious people. Now, what happens is the poor person that's angry and religious has been told their whole life they have to work to earn God's love and favor and salvation. Don't be mad at them. Just pray for them and love them and don't become like that. Okay? A lot of us think within that, that gives us an excuse. Well, I don't want to become like that person. And we think holiness is an option in the Christian faith. It's not an option. We think, well, it's just for those people over there. Few select saints in history. No, it's for your neighbor. It's for you. It's for your children. That's what God has for you. For you. This is for you. He's got the holiness of God. It's not an option. It's actually what he told you you're to become. It's your inheritance. Imagine I was going to give you from your parents, you're going to get a $1 billion inheritance. And you're like, no, you know what? That's just really not me. No, that's not what I want. I don't want that. I don't need it. No, the Lord says here, this is who I am and I want to give this to you. Take it. It's not an option. You would take that $1 billion, hopefully. Next thing is, next lie, number three, is I don't have time to be holy. A lot of times we say this, I just don't have time. I'm super busy. Now, listen, time is your most precious commodity. It's the you never get it back. It's there. God redeems the time. God says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. He's saying, be faithful with tomorrow through Paul's saying that. And we want to redeem the days. You don't have time not to steward your time well. You can't afford not to steward your time well. Just be faithful with your time. If you do and you pursue God and the holiness of God, you'll actually live a healthier, happy life. It's kind of like if you go to the gym, you get all excited, you get in there, you feel good after 3 weeks, and then you get to decide whether you keep going back. Just and amen. And so the thing is, just don't start doing it right before Christmas, because inevitably we all stop at Christmas, and then we stop the 3 weeks after Christmas, and then anyway. And so we want to steward our time. We want to be faithful with our time. Every one of us has a plan for our financial future, I hope. In the same way, you got to have a plan for your life of holiness in God. You've got to have a plan for growing in love with God. What if I was going to become a doctor and I just decided not to go to medical school because I didn't need that? I was really okay. That's just kind of an option, you know, that some people take, and I'm good. You wouldn't go to that doctor. You'd be like, I'm sorry you opted out of medical school. I'm not going. Holiness is not an option to the Christian faith. It is the Christian faith. And I always tell the students like this. I go, if holiness was a class that you had to take, you would take it to graduate, right? Yes. It's not an elective. It's a prerequisite. Okay? All right, good. And I can't be holy, number four. It's too hard. This is a big lie that the devil uses. It's way harder to not live holy. You're miserable. The people around you are miserable because you hang out with miserable people then. And so, you know what I mean? I don't even want to go into that. And so you get it. Jesus, that's too miserable to even think about it. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be holy. He didn't die on the cross just so you could escape hell. He didn't just save you from something. He saved you for something. Imagine I was going to have a beautiful, smiley daughter. Or two. And oh no, wait, that's not like a prophecy. And two. So there you go. And so an accidental prophecy that went like, oh, wow. No, that was an accident. And no, seriously, we got to say stuff like that, because otherwise, wow, that was a prophecy. He's holy. And then I sit up here and let you think that. that would be bad. I'd face God at night. Imagine I was going to have a baby girl. And I have this beautiful baby girl. And right before we go to the hospital, or we don't go to hospitals, we just stay at home and have midwives in bathtubs, but go to the hospital if God calls you. And but so we are there. Imagine you have your little baby. The baby comes out. You're holding your little one, and you're just like, after they wash them off, because they're kind of slimy and different colors to start with, and then after they're done crying, and after they've ate for a while and they're fine, and they're sleeping. Let's get to that part. They're just beautifully sleeping right there. And you're holding, you're looking at that beautiful sleeping baby. I mean, that's real, man. I caught all my kids. I was like, what? What? And so here you got this beautiful baby, and you're like, what's your daughter's name? Naomi. Naomi. Was Peter's like, Naomi, I love you. I've waited my whole life to see you. You look just like your mother.
You're going to be beautiful too. This is awesome. I can't wait. Oh, and I know you're going to grow up and you're going to be so beautiful. And I can't wait to walk you down the aisle. This is going to be great. I love you. And then he walks out the door and he comes back at the wedding. That would be a tragedy. You'd be like, ah, you missed everything. And you're here like, hi, Naomi. You're 20-something or whatever. That's not a prophecy. And you're marrying so-and-so, and that's wonderful, and I'm so happy, and I'm here to walk you down the aisle. And she'll be like, get away from me. All right, I don't know who you are. And you would miss everything in between. We like to just sit here with our Christian faith and think, I'm saved, I made it in, that's enough. When the Lord's like, no, I saved you to be holy and enjoy my holiness, to see my holiness, to become holy, and to enjoy the rewards I have in that every day, and to impact the body of Christ around you. The two things we're missing that are biblical in impacting the body of Christ around this, and I want to say this boldly, is number one, John 17, unity. We are so in purpose to go after the gifts of the Spirit, which we should. Don't get me wrong. I love the Holy Spirit. He's God. But we think if I go after the gifts of the Spirit, then good things will happen. Yes, they will. Go after the gifts of the Spirit and seek God's heart in John 17, unity, and see the church unified across the region. That's number one for the Spirit of the Lord breaking in. The second thing is that we walk deep in biblical holiness. And therefore, we're becoming like him more and more and more. Holiness, we think, is random. It's like, if God wants, he'll make someone holy. I mean, that's bizarre. Imagine if we did that. Well, I'm not going to go to the gym and maybe I'll become something. No, I'm purposeful. I'm a runner. I do certain things. I do certain exercises so I can do this and this and this. Okay, we've got to be purposeful in pursuing our life of holiness in order to see God impact our own lives and lives of those around us. The next is number five. The next lie that Satan likes to say is, I'll wait till heaven to be holy. I mean, I'll be holy in heaven, you know, because that's when I'll be with God. So, and it's too hard to be holy here. So forget that. Yes, you will be holy, glorified in heaven. Remember, you understand righteousness. When you say yes to Jesus, when you're saved, you're justified. That means you're righteous before God. Okay? When you stand before God, you're like this. You say yes to Jesus at the cross. For one offering, he has perfected those who are being sanctified. You're righteous before him. Right away, the Father looks at you. He's like, you're bright and shiny. You look just, that's awesome. Meanwhile, but you're down on earth. And you're like, yes, I'm a new creation. This is awesome. And you walk out the door and all the temptations are still there. And you're like, I'm a new creation. I don't feel like a new creation. Yeah, I am. They told me I was, you know. And then they told me to shout some strange language. And so you kind of like, you know, after like a few weeks, you're like, yeah. And so what we need to do is we need to walk through someone. Okay, you're a new creation. Now here's how you walk out your life of holiness called sanctification. You know, actually what that word means is to be made saint, which is to be made holy, which is to become like Christ. Does that make sense? And so once someone becomes holy, it's not like, what's your goal? When they get saved, what's your goal? Your goal is to get them to become Christ-like, to get them to know the man who they're going to spend eternity with. Billy Graham, when he was quoted and when he was talking about in his book Nearing Home, said, if I was going to do things differently, I would spend more time reading the Bible, getting to know this Jesus I'm about to meet for all eternity. That's Billy Graham. You don't want to just wait till heaven to be holy. You want to go after holiness now. Because that's who you're called to be, and that's what God's asked you to be. Number six, I don't need to be holy. I have grace. Have you heard this before? Oh, no, no, grace, grace, grace. I'm good. Yeah, I'm just resting in God's grace. Yes. What do you mean by that? I always say that with people, you know, because I work with college students. So what do you mean by that? No, I'm good. You know, tell me about this grace that you're talking about. And listen, this is in essence, if someone says grace, but that gives them permission to stay in sin and compromise because they're already saved. They're God's gracious. He like, yes, God does like you. But God's grace leads you to that place of being with them. The kindness of the Lord leads you to repentance. When you get in repentance, he's repentant. The mercy of God washes away your shame, guilt, and condemnation, cleans your conscience pure. And then he says, now here's my grace so that you can walk away from sin, not stay in sin and feel like okay doing it. Does that make sense? So if you're not preaching a message of grace, everybody needs to know grace inside and out. Because if you don't, the funny doctrines that are going to come out, and I'll just give you the tip off. Number one, it's a unity. It'll be the opposite. It'll be we all have to be together. One of the college students the other day, and Tim had to face something like this, and another one of the college students had to face this. At a Christian school in America, his professor did a class on the ethics of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And he wrote a paper on, because the student and I talked about this paper a lot beforehand. It was, in essence, the Prince of Greece, Prince of Persia paper. So it was. I was proud of him for picking the topic. And so it was about how Jesus of Islam and Jesus of Christianity are totally different. And this is what his teacher gave him a very bad grade and said this. You should not be looking for the differences. You need to be looking for the similarities. You're not, you don't know unit, what unity is. God wants us to be one. This is at a Christian university in America. So number one big thing will be that false unity message. That's humanistic. That's Revelation 17. That's the great harlot. That's the Prince of Greece. That's that humanistic, immoral craziness. Okay? The second is this false grace message. I'm God's gracious, therefore I can stay in my weakness and I don't need to change because I'm still going to go to heaven. I can keep living like I do. And God accepts me the way that I am. And if you don't, you're the problem. Does that make sense? And then it's this false love. Love does win. And love is a man. And his name is Jesus. And love wins. But only God defines what love is. And he defines it on his terms. And if you're with him, it's the most beautiful, exhilarating, life-changing experience. It's so beautiful. If you're not, if you choose a different humanistic love, it's sensual, it's fleshly, it's demonic, and it leads to the pit. So we've got the false grace message. We've got the false unity message. We've got the, what's the other one? False love message. And another message will be the, oh, come on. Where did, Lord, you can clean my mind. Help me. False grace, false unity. Oh, no, Jesus isn't really God. Jesus isn't really God. Okay. Yeah. Woo-hoo. That's really bad. Okay. Stay away from that. Jesus is the only way to the Father. There is no other way. Jesus is not just a good man. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is God, okay? He is not just a person that lived a while ago that did good deeds and said good things. Okay. Okay, so the next, number seven, lie about holiness. If God wants me to be holy, then he'll do it himself. I mean, and a lot of times that's what we think. He just hasn't done it. You know, I've been kind of waiting for God to do it. Really? Okay. Yeah, I mean, if God wants to do it, I mean, really? So it's all up to God. Well, was your salvation up to God? Did God come and carry you up to the front when you said yes at the Billy Graham crusade? No, he did not. Well, it's like the angel of the Lord just took me. No, he did not. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit comes next to us to convict us of sin, righteousness, and justness before we're saved. He comes in us, and no one can say they're saved except by the Holy Spirit in them. And he's upon us to anoint us to love God, to work forth in gifts and signs and wonders. Okay? We really like the Holy Spirit. But God doesn't force you. He's not forcing you. That's why he put two trees in the garden. God doesn't force anyone. I can't force my kids to like me. I can invite them to love me and to love God and know about God. I can't force any. I can't even force my dog to listen to me. I mean, my dog is a lab. She'll do anything for me. If I'm like, go get hit by a car. Okay. And she would go do it. She don't like our neighborhood, though. There's too many snakes. And she'll just kind of sit there on the porch, and there's all these eyes. Like, it was about midnight. I was talking to some student that wants to do some large gathering. The Ball State, they want to do some stadium. And I mean, I'm just every night, there's someone who wants to do another stadium gathering and this and that. I'm like, oh, God, Isaacs, live on. They're out there. And there's all these eyes peering at me, and my dog's just kind of sitting there because the lights, foxes and owls and all these creepy things. So much fun. Okay. So let's see. Number 7. If God wants to, he can do it. God does his part. You've got to do your part. He's not going to force you. He gives you the tools for your life of holiness. You've got to do it. No one can force you to go to the gym and go through the stuff you need to go through. You've actually got to do that yourself. And you're trying to take your salvation and blame it all on God and your life of holiness? No, you take part in that. Well, the grace of God carried me. Yes, he did. He carried you. He gave you the answers to the test. That's what he did with Israel. I put two tests before you. Life or death? By the way, choose life. Here's the answer. If you choose death, it gets really bad. And here's what it could happen. And this could happen this week. And this can happen next week. And this is going to happen 10 years from now. Don't do that. Don't do that. Here's the answer to the test. But you've got to choose it. You've got to act. You've got to do it. Does that make sense? Holiness is not you sitting back. I always say it's not. Holiness is not some surf the internet while you're late at night, you know, or channel surfing deal, you sitting back and have, it's working super hard towards something. You think LeBron James just sit there and go, well, it's just all, you know, God did it. No, have you ever been to his house? He's got a massive basketball court in his backyard. He's always playing. I mean, he wasn't playing when I was there, but I was only there twice. So there you go. But he works really, really hard at this. And so must we. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It's 9:20. I didn't even realize that. It's all your fault. You gave me the thing later. So there you go. No, you people, you don't care. That's why you're here. Number 8, holiness is just a list of strict rules. Have you ever heard of this? I'm not doing holiness. It's just a bunch of strict rules and I can't even follow them anyway. I can't follow any of the rules that I set out for myself. How many of you can actually follow the list that you want to do for yourself? I can't. And so holiness is not what you don't do. It's what you do do. Okay? Holiness is what you pursue. I'm not so much concerned about closing the eyes of a generation so they can't look at pornography. I'm not just concerned about taking the eyes and covering them. What am I putting before a generation? I don't want to just shut the TV off and tell my kids to not watch TV, though I get it. What am I setting before them? Okay? Some of you got mad when I did the old Frozen thing, and I was the Bah Humbug Frozen guy. Okay? But now do you know what they want to do in the next movie? Where the girls are kissing and all that. And now you you all thought I was crazy. Okay. We've got to watch what we're putting before a generation. Does that make sense? What is subtly taking our children away, or is it leading them deeper into the Lord? Okay. Only a few people in Bible history are holy, therefore I don't have to be holy. I mean, can you look at it? You know, Moses was holy. Daniel. Elijah, he seemed to be holy. The guy was freaking out all the time. And John the Baptist was holy, and I think some of the disciples were holy, so I don't have to be holy. No, that's actually not true. Everybody is called to walk in holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. God gives 7 provisions for holiness that we need to know. There's much more. Number one is Jesus. Did you know that Jesus provides for your holiness? And I go through one of the pages is just Jesus and the provision of Jesus for holiness. So let's turn there to group 9. And I want to plow with you guys. If you got to go, please go. But we've got 2 nights together and I like you so much. So I just want to plow and we'll be done in a little bit. Okay. I know you don't believe that me because I've never been done in a little bit. I went up yesterday with Tim. I go, Tim, I'll be right back. He goes, I've learned when you say that, that really doesn't mean anything. Okay. Group 9. Are you all at group 9? Okay, good. Second Peter 1, verse 3 through 4, the verse at the top. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, which is holiness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, to which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that although through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Ha! What in the world does that mean? Okay, let's look at this real quickly. Let's take the highlighted words. First, God gives us provision. The first thing is that he gives full provision. It says all things that pertain to God's life of holiness. He gives us the power. God gives you the power and the ability and the strength to do this. It's not just available for 1 or 2 people over there. It's available to the person on heroin down the street. We've got to get them to the place where they can sit down and understand this. And it may take some time. I remember when I was in Richmond and this guy kept asking for money. And one day I just turned to him and I said, he goes, you know what I need? And it would change everything. $10. I go, you don't need $10. You need Jesus. And he's like looking at me like, I go, dude. Every day for 2 years, you've been asking me for $5, $10, and look at yourself. And I talked to him, you know, I calmed down. Like, he's kind of went away. 6 months later, he came back in a suit and on a 10-speed bike and hedge clippers. He goes, I listened to what you said. I went and got dry and sober. This is my job. I have a job. I am a hedge clipper. Do you have any hedges I can trim? And I was like, dude, I'm going to go find hedges for you to trim. I don't have any money, but I'm going to go beg my neighbors that you could trim their hedges. Come on, that's awesome. He's like, anyway, there you go. But God gives you the full provision. That means when someone says, I'm sorry, I can't get free from this, or when the enemy is trying to convince you you can't get free from something, when the enemy is trying to convince you you can't enter into your destiny, it can't be done, you can't overcome in this, you can't go forward, you're not strong enough, you say, you know what? I might not be, but he has given me the full provision and the power to walk this out already. He has given it to me. I have everything I need. He wants me to prosper already. He's on my side. The smartest, most intelligent, most beautiful, most creative, loving God is on your side. And he gives you all the power you want. Jesus prayed. He's really good at praying. Jesus lifted his eyes towards heaven. Okay? Can you imagine? John writing this down. John 17. He lifts his eyes towards heaven. His Father, the hour's come. Glorify your Son, that your Son might glorify you. As you have given me authority over all flesh, that I can give eternal life to as many as you have given me. And this is eternal life. That they might know me, the only true God. And you, to know you, the only true God, and he whom you have given me. What? I have manifest your name. I have done everything you've asked me to do. And then he prays, give them the glory you gave me. Manifest the name. What? God's like, I give you everything I have. The glory of God, the greatest treasure. And he's like, I've manifest your name to those that you've given me. And they have received it. Now they have known that all things you have given me have come forth from you. Wow. I have revealed to them your word. And they have known surely that I have come forth from you and believe that you sent me. I do not pray for these alone, but for those that you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus is saying it back to the Father. These are yours. You are the Father's. But everything that you have is mine and mine is yours. Ah! I mean, you go through that prayer and he's saying the provision of everything that you need to succeed is there for you. Ah, okay. So please, whenever the enemy says you don't have the strength to do it, go, are you kidding me? You're right. But God gave me everything I need. Come on. The next is it's found through the knowledge of him. You've got to study him out. Search him out. Ask about him. Tell me about you. That's what I do all the time. I just want to know about you. Tell me about you. Here I am. Here I am. When we do the holy clubs, if you turn the page over, they have to ask this. They have to ask these questions. What does this verse show me about who you are? What does this verse show me about what you think about me? And then how then can I pray for my neighbor? See, this falls into the place of the knowledge of God, your act of holiness, your desire for holiness is you pursuing knowing who God is and what he thinks about you, and you'll be okay. If you consume yourself with taking Bible verses and asking who he is and what he thinks about you, you won't have time to not know what or do whatever else there is to do. I don't know what else there is to do, but I'm sure there's something else to do. So there you go. The promises of God. God gives provision. Provision is in the promise that God gave us. 2 Peter 1:14 or 1:4, which says, gives us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature of who God is. Listen, when he gives a promise in the Bible for who he is and what he has for you, that is over everything. Listen, you ever read Psalm 2? Have you ever read Psalm 2? Just real quick, let's do Psalm 2. I just like Psalm 2. Remember, get your Psalm 2. Come on. The Father talking to the Son and some guy writing down their conversation. That's a good quiet time, right? That's where we want to be. I know some of you, that's your hunger. That's what's in your heart. Okay? Psalm 2. Why do the first of all, understand this in context. David is writing this question. He's starting off. He's kind of laying the groundwork. He goes, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? Put in there, he's watching the 6 o'clock news going, what in the world? Why do the nations rage? Why do the people plot in vain? Why do the kings of the earth set themselves against the rulers of the Lord? against his anointed. The big L-O-R-D is the Father. David's like, why would you stand against the Father and Jesus, his anointed? So David's setting the stage. And they say this, let us break your bonds in pieces. Let us cast our cords from us. And then the Father jumps in. So here's the Father. So David kind of sets the stage for the 6 o'clock news. Sometimes it's like the setting of the stage of the enemy trying to go back and forth and lie to you about who God is, who you are, and what people think about you. And so David's setting this, he's looking and saying, why is this chaos throughout the earth? Then the Father jumps in and he gets his part. The Father says, but he who sits in the heavens will laugh. He can't be moved by your Twitter accounts. He can't be moved by your hashtags. He can't be moved by your YouTube hits. He can't be moved. He who sits in the heavens will laugh. He will hold them in derision. That means he is the just judge. He's final. He's saved. His word is it. It doesn't matter. He is God. He will hold them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath. That's frightening. That's Joel 1, 2, unto verse 3, or chapter 3. It means that the progressive judgments of the merciful Lord will go upon the land to turn you back to him. A loving God would release divine judgment and discipline to turn people. Listen, the wrath of God doesn't fall on the believers. It falls on the unbelievers. Amen? But the judgment of God, the chastisement of a good father comes upon a believer to make him a good son. Does that make sense? Okay? I hope you understand that. It's like you discipline your kids because you love them. The guy down the street goes to jail when they do something wrong. You get it? Okay, if you don't understand that, ask Peter later. And he'll unpack it clearly, or ask Tim. And there you go. He says this. The Father says this. Here's the Father's statement. I'm trying to remember, we're talking about the promises of God. Here's what it says. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. The Father is saying this. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. The Father is declaring this promise. That promise is above any voting that happens. It trumps any weird slogans or ideas about greatness that you may have for America. Sorry, I'm just... Okay? That statement right there, he can't be moved. He's already set his king, Jesus, on his holy hill of Zion, the only place of government that matters. And I shared with y'all the words we got about Hillary in 2008, how there was a great harvest coming and we needed to get ready and Hillary's in place of leadership. I shared those like 15 times. I'm sure you heard all that. My son came up to me, why didn't God tell you anything about Mr. Trump? And I was like, that's a good question, son. Anyway. Now, would I vote for Hillary? Absolutely not. The point is, a great harvest is coming and we've got to get ready. Now, he told me I shared this with you, right? 2008, he shared, she'll be 70 and she'll be in power. And don't worry. I share this 100 times with everyone. I know many of you are in there. Yeah, see, there you go. All right. And so you were there. I know you were at. No, actually, I think Cynthia was at the one. You had to stay home and watch the kids. I had the dream where Hillary Clinton, in 2008, I had the dream where Hillary was in a place of prominence. He didn't say she's the president, so technically she might not be, but I think that's what it means. And in 2008, he gave me the dream. She's 70, she'll be leading, And we are not to be concerned, because all of a sudden Christians were getting really, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And so the Lord said, tell them not to be concerned, but to pray for her, because a great harvest is coming and we need her on our side. Does that make sense? Does that hopefully set your heart at ease a little bit? Would I vote for either of our presidential candidates? I don't really have a comment on that. No, I don't. That's just interesting. And anyway, whatever. Well, you're good. Thank God you're not here to get political advice from me. However, please, come November, come January 1st, please pray for a bunch of things. Number one, pray for women in America, because in a minute, a four-year-old girl is going to say, I could be a president in this nation. And pray for righteous women to arise and lead in places of authority. Does that make sense? Your daughter could be the next president if Jesus tarries. Woo! Isn't that awesome? That, to me, that's awesome. You know why that's awesome to me? Because when my daughter was 2 years old, some guy driving down the road stood out of the car, pointed into, we were in a field, and said, your daughter will be president someday, and got back in his car and drove away. And I was like, whatever, dude. I don't think that's a prophecy. I don't even know who you are. You're just some random guy in a field that stopped me while I was playing with my kids in a field. I don't believe that. I get prophecies of every day that someone's going to be the president. But I believe in God setting people in places of authority. I'm all for that. I don't think my daughter's going to be the president. That would be interesting from a homeschool standpoint, what we're walking through. Just to be like, wow, I don't know if I would fully vote. I mean, no, I love my daughters. I love my daughters. And as Mary Pat said, one of my daughters broke her shoulder and just craziness. And then the van tire went out, and I'm trying to instruct my little son with a bicycle pump to blow up the tire because dad's not there. And my wife's like, oh, that's great, honey. Yeah, he's going to go down there and pump up the van with the bicycle tire. I'm like, I don't know. That's all I could come up with. So Dad of the Year award there. And so, all right, I'll end. I'm getting to the end. And now, I don't... Please just delete everything I just said, except for I didn't want to get into all the Hillary words, but we've got to pray for this woman and pray for a great harvest in America. Because what in my dreams years ago, the Lord was saying a great harvest was coming. Now, I don't know what that means. But I'm working my butt off and preparing and not missing anyone in the midst of it. Obviously, you all are too. Okay? So let's get ready. And the Lord told me, tell the church not to be afraid when she turns 70. There's a great harvest coming. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. In 2017, there's a great harvest coming. But that doesn't mean you're going to sip. You've got to go get the harvest. Jesus didn't just send emails from heaven and be like, come on up here, it's nice. Hashtag, and did a selfie with the Father. Okay. God gives promises, back to the sheet, the truths of the provision. We're talking about the provision of God for holiness. That truths, those Bible promises. I love the Word of Faith movement, to that part where you grab hold of something that's biblical and holy and Jesus and spirit and not let go of it. I love taking those. I love inner city black mamas that just take hold of the word and don't let go. They have to believe it. They don't have another choice. There's no credit card over here. There's no this. There's no that. They actually have to believe God is who he says he is. That's what my wife was like, honey, either God is the guy who drives snakes out or he isn't. I'm like, honey, think about what you just said. Your kids could die. Like, seriously. She's like, we can do it. Let's pray. I'm like, okay, I'm in, just so you remember this conversation. I'm like, just so you know. Okay, and there's only about, I think, 5,000 fatalities, so we should be good statistically. Okay, so divine nature, as you believe and receive God's promises. So number one, we've got provision for, is the full provision that God gives us his power. He gives us the knowledge of who he is. He gives us the promises of God. And he gives us his divine nature. As you believe and receive God's promises, you will look more like God and less like the world. Partakers of the divine nature look more like God. Did you ever notice the people that sin together start to look like each other? Think about that for a second. The people that are sinning together, you can walk by and go, I know about that person. That person is doing X, Y, and Z. I mean, come on. Be honest. You can just walk by. It doesn't take much discernment. You're like, wow. Okay? You can know a certain type of drug addict. If you're on the street, this is like 101 life. So you know where to walk and where not to walk. Okay? You could just tell. You become what you stare at. If you're spending your time with something like this, you're going to look like that. If you spend your time with God, you'll look like him. I'm not saying you'll all have cool beards. And I'm just... Andrew and I are like, yes. And so the provisions for holiness, I'll go through these real quickly. There's seven provisions for holiness. There's many more, but I want to give you these seven. First, Jesus Christ. Second, the cross, the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the faith and belief, our works. So first, Jesus Christ. The Father gives provision of knowledge, the knowledge of himself through Jesus. So the Father is making known who he is by showing us Jesus. So when you see Jesus, I'm on group 9, provisions for holiness, number 1. Group 9, so you see group 9 in the top right-hand corner, okay? You go down to where it says provisions for holiness, okay? It's got it in bold letters. Okay, you can't find it. Group 10 in yours? Well, you can have mine in its group. No. That's Jesus. Go back one page, and I want to go through the seven provisions of holiness, group 9. Group 10 is good, too. I like it because it's Jesus, but, I mean, I'm biased. So the first provision, Jesus, the Father gives provision for the knowledge of himself through Jesus, and he gives us provision of sanctification and redemption. Your holiness and redemption, your redemption from sin is given to you by Jesus. When you're talking with someone, you actually have to know what these things mean. Does that make sense? You've got to understand them clearly. The next, the cross. For by one offering, God has perfected. That's what I say to people. Do you realize he has perfected you? Those who are being sanctified. What the cross perfected you, and he's making you holy. The cross does that. Hey, man, I'm like, yeah, I am messed up. But the cross has perfected me. I'm being made holy. This is so good. The Holy Spirit. It's the ultimate power. And it's available to you and me. The blood of Jesus. And I expound on these more in the latter pages. When I talk about the blood of Jesus, if I say the blood, most of us don't understand what I just said from a biblical standpoint. My Satanist friends totally understand the blood aspect of the blood because the life is in the blood. That's what the scripture says. Therefore, when you're pouring out an offering, you're saying, I want to give you the power that you've given me in this ox to do my field. But I'm giving it to you as a sacrifice, God. And then Jesus says, I'm giving you my lifeblood to cleanse you. And that blood is there to redeem us and transform us. It's so good. The word of God. The word of God is provision for holiness. We must know it. We must sing it. And you get to enjoy reading your Bible. The last two parts are our faith. Did you know your faith is actually part of sanctification? You're believing. You actually have to believe. You have to do your part. You actually have to focus and believe on what God says. You know, because it's easy to go in and, pastor said that. I get it. Oh, I come before the throne of mercy that I might find grace, something, in time of something. Okay? Yeah, I know it's by God's grace. I'm just receiving it now. Receiving it. Yes. No. By faith means I actually look at truth and what's real, and I choose to. So number one, I look at truth. Number two, I choose to agree with it. Number three, I ask for it to come inside me. Hello. And number four, I cooperate with the work of the Spirit inside me. I had to do a lot of stuff there. Oh, by faith, I just receive it, brother. That's a whole lot of work I'm in the faith movement. Boy, you must work real hard. That's what you need to tell people. Wow, you're really hard at work, because that's hard work. Listen, God does his part and we've got to believe it. The first five of them, of the provisions for holiness, are God's part. The next is our part. Think of the first five on here as your fitness instructor. They give you a whole good list of what you need to do and all the things that will happen and all the right shakes and all the right things. And number six is what you need to do. What's your part? I'm in group nine. Our faith in believing. Please forgive me where it says our faith in believing. I have a number six off to the side, and this cost me $8 to do, so this is the cheapest way I can do it, so please forgive me. Someday I'll give books away, but not today. So people are like, I can't see the six. What happened to it? It's right there. Trust me. Just pray for us to get a bigger budget. And number seven, which is our works. The provision for sanctification through our works is powerful. God gives you strength to live holy as you do biblical actions. You've actually got to do the stuff that God's asking you to do. You've got to resist. You've got to do the stuff, you know. You've actually got to get up and walk away from the computer. You've got to actually resist when you're getting angry. You've got to show works worthy of repentance. You've got to do something. I'm works. Are you preaching works through salvation? I'm saying if you're saved, you'll have works. Okay? All right. I didn't get to the Prince of Greece, Prince of Persia. That's okay. But we will tomorrow. We'll go through more of it. But if you're saying tonight, you know what? This is awesome. I want to be holy like him. I want you to stand and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for this. We're going to pray that we would see the holy God and his grace would empower us. We don't need to do worship at this time unless the Lord makes us. But, you know, I think let's stand before the Lord for a minute here. And what we're saying here, what I want you to commit to, you don't have to, but what I want you to think about, that's a better way of saying is, number one, I want you to walk away from here going, all right, I can do this holy thing, even if you didn't understand me. I'm just going to agree with that goofy guy, and I'm going to search these Bible verses out, and I'm going to do it. And the second thing is, I want you to find two other people and go through these together, okay? And then I want you to find, when you get through this and you kind of get an understanding of this, I want you to go find two people that you never thought could make it and take them through this. If you do this, that's what I do. I sat down and I took the most broken, messed up people I can find. And I said, if this doesn't work, God's not real. I might as well do something else. And you know why I said yes to it? Because I did it and it transformed me. I'm like, actually, this is real. I don't struggle like that anymore. So, Father, we ask right now as we come before you, we want to see that you're holy. In Jesus' name, just release revelation of the holiness of God across this room. We ask right now in Jesus' name to know that you're holy. I want to see that you're holy. Your mind, your eyes, the inside eyes of your heart are made to gaze at the holy God. Your eyes were made to gaze at the holy God. Your ears were made to hear the holiness of God and what he thinks and speaks over you. Your mouth was made to utter glorification and blessing to the holiness of who God is. You are made for holiness. He's a holy God. You were made to receive his holiness. You're made to gaze upon his holiness. You are made to see him and know a holy God, both now and forever. And God, I ask for grace all across this room to do it. Grace across this room to do it. Grace to live holy. And God, I'm going to ask right now all across this room that you would put one, two, or three people in their mind that they would say, I want to do this in a group. And maybe you walk up to this person afterwards and say, hey, let's just do this once a week for 24 weeks. What do we got to lose? Just you get together for an hour. Maybe you live far away. Here's what I do. I do it on FaceTime with my friends, with three people. I do this with them on the, you can do it with the Google. Say, let's just do this together. Okay? Lord, right now, just begin to put in their heart people that they could do this together with. And that what you're going to say with them is that you're going to fight for them to grow in the first commandment calling to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're going to dedicate yourself to contending in prayer for them and believing for them. And while you're doing that, you're going to grow into so much more. People, if you're lonely, then ask God to send you two people. That's what I do. So, Father, I ask all across this room for friends to walk out holiness with. And lastly, God, I want to pray for our nation with this upcoming election, that we would love you and love each other. I pray for John 17 unity. God, help the church not to be divided. Draw us together. Give us righteous leaders in the land. We don't put our hope in a political process, but we ask for righteousness in the land. And Lord, I ask for a special blessing, Lord. There's so much we could pray for right now. But I ask, God, for our high schools in this area. We stand before you and ask for Lake High School. We ask for every high school in a 20-mile radius of this building. The largest unreached people group in America under 15 years old. We bring them before you as an offering. And we say maybe some of you in this room are supposed to take them through the young people through this. Why not? Maybe they're... Come on. We ask right now in the name of Jesus for justice. I want to invite Tim up to pray for the high schools in the area. And as he prays, let's just begin. I want you to also begin to pray for different high schools. Tim, come on up. Maybe the Lord will put a high school on your heart and you pray for that. And begin to pray for them there. And maybe in a minute you're discipling young people in there. So Tim, pray for the high schools in this area.
Jesus, we just thank you that you're good and you're Lord of all. And so we just ask that the knowledge of you would break out in high schools. That God, you would send the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ to high schools in this area, to Lake, to Green, to Copley, to Perry, to Jackson. Just call them out. God, just send your spirit in Jesus' name. Send a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the name of Jesus Christ, God. God, we ask that you'd raise up righteous ones. We ask that you'd raise up ones like Ezra, God, who had set in their heart to study the word, to do it, and to teach it in Jesus' name, God, that we would change what they behold, God, that they'd be like John when they see you, Jesus, that they'd say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That, God, that you'd give a revelation of who you are and what you came to do, that Jesus, you died on the cross so that we could know the Father just like you do. So, God, we just ask that you send the Spirit. That, God, we just break off the lies of this generation. We break off trying to be like somebody else in Jesus' name. God, we break off the spirit, the fear of man in Jesus' name. And say they are created for wholeness and oneness in Jesus' name. And so, God, we just ask that you'd send yourself. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we ask that you'd send unity in Jesus' name. That, God, high schools would be training grounds for righteousness, encouragement, and uplifting in Jesus' name. That no longer sarcasm would reign, no longer putting each other down would reign in high schools. God, we just ask for vulnerability and openness in Jesus' name. We just break off the spirit of performance and perfectionism in Jesus' name. We just speak into them and say that you're... In our weakness, your strength comes. And so, God, we just ask that students would be willing to be weak and just let go in Jesus' name.
And Father, we ask right now that you would begin to put in our hearts and paths high school students that we can disciple. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus to do that. Make a way. Make a way right now, God. Do it. We pray that we send a great awakening to our nation. Send a great awakening, God. Lord, as we gather in North Carolina, for some reason you gave all the dreams to fast and pray. It's bigger than just one state. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. I pray for stadium gatherings. I pray for the campuses as we're trying to organize stadium gatherings at different places. Lord, we ask for awakening in 2016. We ask that we wouldn't be afraid. The church wouldn't be afraid in 2017. We pray for our eyes to be open to a great harvest in this nation and the nations of the earth. We pray to be debt free. I ask right now, a lot of the things the Lord was saying about the great harvest that was coming is some of us would need to be debt free. So Lord, I ask for unique ways to become debt free. Some of you may have debt and it's just plaguing you and you've tried and tried and tried. And I just, Lord, you said you would take our sin and debt. So give it to him at the cross. Just say, God, this is yours. Take it. Now help me walk holy with my life and my finances. We break sin patterns. We break curses off of our lives so that we can see mortgages paid. College debt eradicated, medical bills taken away, continual breakage in vehicles. We bind that in Jesus' name and we Say, Lord, you're the God who can supply, so make a way. Because there is a great harvest. Break off fear. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to wonder why the nations are raging. They always have been. But he who sits in the heavens will laugh. And I ask for your spirit to flow in this area. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to say, come back tomorrow. Two things I want to share on tomorrow. The Prince of Greece, Prince of Persia, from a biblical aspect. I'm also going to share a dream I had when I was in the vein of the Lord. I was literally in the Lord's vein. I know that might seem weird, but I want to share just I shared a little bit about the tunnel thing today, but I want to share about the vein of the Lord and what that was like and how the Lord drew me into the Word never before. It was really exciting. Again, take these if you want. If you can, please leave a $10 donation with Tim. If you don't want it, please put it back on the counter because, like, I mean, this takes me 4 hours to print a lot of these. So please, right? 4 hours. And the printer died. How many times did the printer stop? At least 50. I think it was closer to 300. But poor print shop people were mad. So bless you all. Any instructions? Any instructions? All right. We'll see you all tomorrow. If you're running with us in the morning, see Lawrence. We're going fast. We're not. Bring your bike if you don't like going fast. Okay.
Hey guys, before you go, I just have a sense that somebody has a very significant question. This is not lay out everything and tell me what I need to do, but if there's a very significant question, just come up and ask it. And the second thing is that I just really want to bless what's going on here. So let's just do this. Let's kind of stagger this because we're assuming and hoping that you guys come out tomorrow and you're going to ask people to come. Really important. But let's sow into this, okay, financially. Let's do that right now. So we can give $10 to Tim. That's great for the book. But let's sow into the bigger picture as well. So if you can just stop before you go here and just ask the Holy Spirit, ask him, Lord, what do I do here? Show me what to do. Just go with that first impression. And let's stick it right behind Lawrence's head in the box. Okay? Let's do that. Let's just sow into. And you can mark it on, you know, put it in the envelope. That would be awesome. And then we can do this again tomorrow. We have the privilege of giving, right? This is an honor and a privilege. So this is like, wow. Is this good stuff? I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I'm just so overwhelmed with gratitude. I know at one point, and I was looking for the text just now, and it's in there somewhere, but I sent a text to Ben somewhere. I don't know where it was. But in the last couple of months, and I said, when you come, we want to learn and hear more about holy clubs. And we want more on holiness. What can we do to participate? Help us. I believe it was a text. Maybe it was a phone call. But I know that was communicated. I don't remember. But it was just really strong on our hearts that God is saying, this direction is very significant. You want to be free of whatever has been entangling. You want to not be going up and down and this and that. We want to be going forward in our destiny in the ways that God has for us in this season. This is the key right here. And the things that do come against us and plague us and all that, they're going to fall by the wayside because we're going to be so filled up with the Word and the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Word. Ben spoke that out. I don't know if it was the first time you were here, Ben. And we never lost sight of that because the Spirit of the Lord is strong here. The Word of God is strong here. But the Lord was saying, it's time for an upgrade. It's time for an increase. This is time for a megabyte jump charge increase. Like we've never done or had before. So our favorite pastime, so to speak, will be our present time. It'll be chewing on the Word of God in His presence. And I just really, really believe in what Ben's doing, what God's called him to do. I believe it. Believed it the first time I heard it, Pastor Bill, too. We're with him. We're running together. We like it. It's good. And for all the different ministries that we've got going here on the college campuses, the high school campuses, and Ashley is running with the junior high at Perry. And our ones who are leading the Jackson aren't here. They're out of state right now. But they'll be back Sunday or next week. And so we really, really want to say, God, you're targeting the youth. This is how this whole ministry was founded. You guys were all high school or college kids back in the day, many of you, who started this with us. And so God is, he's coming around full circle, and he's saying, now, remember the meat that you got back then? Now we're going to take it, and we're going to, we've encapsulated it here. So we've got something that we can really take out. We already have these ministries set up. We're already going into these places. We're already going to the streets. We're doing the stuff in that regard with evangelism here and overseas. We're doing it. But God's saying, I'm going to give you this tool that's going to change things and really change them up a bit. I was reading off to Pastor Bill, was it last week, honey, when we were reading about what was going on at Lake. We are really excited about that. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm liking this. This is really good. We want to see that at Jackson and all the places that you called out. God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of places. And he's saying, I'm just looking for people who will dare to believe and be foolish with other foolish people and just say, I'm crazy, God. I'm going to go for it 100%. And that's going to mean laying down some of our stuff and then picking up the better stuff, right? Amen? So let's write those checks out. Let's just do it. Let's just be extravagant. Let's lay it down right now and stick it in. And then tomorrow we'll start at 7, Lord willing. And bring in some people. That means you're going to have to call them. They're not going to just appear by osmosis. Don't just post it on Facebook. That's great. But if you call someone and say, I was there. This is awesome. This will change your life. You need to come. Oh my gosh, I'll pick you up. That is amazing. If we're going to commit to going out and saying, I'm going to meet with 2 people or 3 people or 25,000, then let's invite them to come tomorrow. The people that you work with, the ones that you say, oh, they would never come, ask them. As soon as it enters your mind, go ask them and have them come. Let's fill this place up tomorrow. We've got gold here. God has brought Ben in our midst, and we've connected in heart a couple years ago. So this is what he's got for us. This is really good stuff. So how many are with me on this word? Can we do this? Can we think about it and say, yeah, I can do that? Okay. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Ben and Tim. Thank you so much. God bless you.